Hello and welcome to another episode of Big Sad Fun, a sports podcast. My name is Jay, and I'm here with my co-host.
That's not your name.
My name is James. Yeah. Sometimes I go by Jay.
Yeah, I mean, that's your first letter. I'm Edward Dickey.
It's like you go by Eddie when I forget that you don't like going by Eddie, and I call you Eddie.
Exactly.
So, Eddie, how you doing today?
I'm out. Doing all right, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, man.
How was your weekend?
It was good. It was fun. Typical football-filled weekend.
Yeah.
I actually went camping last week.
Whoa. So, oh, yeah. I asked you if you want to record, and you were like,
I was up in the woods, completely disconnected from all of creation. Oh, well, not creation. All of technology and civilization.
Did you find enlightenment?
I did not, but I found it to be cold and damp. And,
yeah, I was going to say, that's a tough weekend to go do that.
I had a good time, though. It was fun. I went there with Nick Houston and Josh Smith.
Friend
do you remember
show.
Josh Smith?
The Hawks forward?
Exactly. He was up there with
us. He was 6'8"?
No, he used to do music here at the church.
I think
10 years ago, yeah.
That's one of those names that, you know.
So we were up there. We had a good time. But, it was good.
So you know what I did on Friday night?
I don't know. Please tell us, the listeners.
If you followed us on Twitter, you would know that I was watching high school football on the... there's a website where you can like broadcast like any high school football game.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Oh. And I got it free because I work at Westminster.
Is this Georgia high school football?
No, or like just, I can
you're
watch.
Just looking to see how I was
oh,
doing?
Oh, no. I was watching Georgia football, yes.
Okay, all right.
So, you hear weird clicking?
No, is that, I think it's inside your head.
It might be. No, I think it's something... I think it's some letter that's sticking out. There it was again. I don't know.
Okay.
We can cut that out.
No, we're leaving that in.
Please don't. So I was watching the Westminster Lovett.
Okay.
They played in the playoffs.
Oh, awesome. I bet that's a big rivalry, huh?
Yes, it's the Battle of Buckhead. Yeah. Lovett won. It was a really good game.
We got any good players coming out of either one of those?
I mean,
they're going to college. They're going to play.
Oh, yeah.
They can play on Sunday someday, maybe.
Well, so Westminster has put... They have two starting punters.
So,
but like,
it's a pipeline for punters. I like it.
It's, and you know, you can make fun of punters, but that's still impressive.
That's still NFL, man. Yeah. No, I'm in.
And I know, obviously, I'm more connected with Westminster because I work in the seventh grade team. But
you're developing those young talents.
Exactly. And we have a punter, let me tell you.
Oh, my gosh, coming up through the ranks.
He's my like right tackle, but he's got the right foot kissed by God.
But he's
for some
designed
reason.
To be a punter.
But. And there's a wide receiver, Henry Chartrand, who's headed to Navy. And then the quarterback is headed somewhere where I can't remember. And the running back's headed somewhere.
All right.
And there's a couple of linemen who are going D2, which is, hey, that's you're continuing to play football. That's awesome.
Well, this fits well with our big today because our big in sports today is football. And
yes,
I think
we
probably
are right in the middle of football season.
This is the heart. This is the heart of it. Thanksgiving coming up. This is it.
Yes.
This is when you make it or break it, as they say.
Were you a family that played?
Oh yes,
football.
Yo, family game. Yes,
whole family.
Family game.
Like grandma's out there throwing.
Anyone who could. Right.
Gotcha.
Right.
Okay.
So yeah, we were out there. We played. It was fun. Man, those are good old days. I miss that. I miss going out and playing football with friends and family.
You could go play somewhere.
I guess I could just show up at someone's house and be like, hey, you guys have a football game going on? Just kind of drive around and see if I can find a pickup football game.
Because I'm sure there's plenty of them. But yes,
doubt.
So your Cowboys are in.
You know, Cowboys, I don't know. They're,
but like, so, I think just what division, division they're
yeah,
in.
Yeah, it's true. I saw the Washington beat Philadelphia last night, which is insane. Right, the Commies. The Commies beat the Eagles, and that helps. That's good. That's great. The Cowboys themselves lost a game. We have never beat Aaron Rodgers since Aaron Rodgers came into the league, since he's been a starting quarterback. And
really?
Last night, that trend continued.
Which is
even
weird.
Though I thought for sure this was going to be our time. We were up by 14 going into the fourth quarter, in which case we were 193-0, having never lost a game but by 14 in the fourth quarter.
Really?
Yeah.
That is
until
a wild stat.
Sunday. And we'd also never gone to overtime with Green Bay before, and we lost that. So
that's
a lot of history being made. Negative history.
I'm not sure if I can grab my head around that.
Yeah.
Y'all have been playing football for forever.
Yeah, 1960.
And y'all have never gone to overtime with them?
With Green Bay, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Y'all play them every year, right?
No, okay. Yeah, we don't play them every year. But we have played them.
Those, like,
we have
rivalries.
Played them a lot. They were a huge rivalry.
I mean, like, y'all were part of, like, the original group, right? Y'all part of the original NFL?
No, 1960. So we were an expansion team.
I think I just think of y'all as blue bloods because ESPN wants y'all to be.
Yeah. well, we are because we made the NFL what it is. Without the Dallas Cowboys, there would be no NFL.
I realize that this is a...
It would be NHL at the highest level.
I realize this is an audio medium, but I just very, very largely rolled my eyes.
But in any case, I will say this. Dallas disappointed me on Sunday and basically... All the issues that I thought we always have had, we still have. We are who I thought we were, and we still are undisciplined. We are badly coached, and Dak Prescott cannot throw a football to save his life consistently.
How much of that do you think is recency biased? Like, if you could step away from it.
No, I have watched every snap of Dak Prescott's career. I have watched every game that Mike McCarthy has coached. I have seen...
I think Mike McCarthy isn't your guy.
There is no recency bias here, unless by recent you mean the last 25 years.
Because I've noticed it more this year, but I notice it every year where, you know, and Pat McAfee points it out, I don't want to overreact, but... That we get, and this is a Tuesday. However, I think losing to Green Bay is tough because they are bad at
football. They're not good, and we showed them.
Honestly, this is all my fault because I've had Aaron Rodgers as my starting quarterback in one of my fantasy leagues.
Yeah.
Just knowing that eventually he's going to pop off.
Right. Well,
I finally...
You got rewarded.
I finally released him.
What did you do? Why? You let Aaron Rodgers go.
It's because he's done... He puts up 12 points a game.
Green Bay was very close to doing the same thing, I think. So.
And I've had Justin Fields on my bench.
Oh, no. You put him in, though, right? Yeah, he exploded. Yeah. He had a great game,
but I think I just unleashed a monster in Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and I will say, you know...
I think... And obviously, you being a Cowboys fan, but I think the division y'all are in is something... I mean, most of your division is current... Like, if the playoffs were today, three teams in your division are in.
Yeah, maybe.
That
might be true, but we're now in third place. The Giants have a better record than us.
Yeah, but there's two wild card spots.
Philadelphia, yeah, that's true. But I will say that doesn't bring me any comfort today.
It shouldn't, but I just think that it's wild.
And with the way that our team has played, and honestly, Sunday should have been one of our high point days because we were playing a franchise that was down and we had everybody back except for Zeke. But we don't need Zeke. And so
I think you need Zeke more than you want to admit.
Well. We'll see. But in any case, we should have won on Sunday. We should have won big, and we were winning big, and we let the pedal up. I will say the thing that everyone's talking about is the go for it on fourth down in the overtime. I actually kind of liked that call. I liked the aggressive nature there.
See, the thing with that...
Kicking field goal in Green Bay, like for 50 yards, that's tough.
If you...
And you should be able to get 4 yards.
If you don't make it, you open yourself up for the Monday morning quarterbacking.
Right, and that's fine.
I think that's a risk you take as a coach.
I think it was just a poorly coached game almost all the way around, and we had turnovers by Dak Prescott. Let me go ahead and say 14 points in the first half went to Green Bay because of Dak Prescott. So we're never going to win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott as our team. I'll go ahead and say that right now. I don't care how good our defense gets, and I feel bad for those guys because they were given a short field on multiple occasions, and they did the best they could. And when it was the last, you know, when it's overtime and the defense is tired, they let up. And
do you see? And this is why I think this is why I said that you need Zeke more than you think.
Because to run the ball.
Well, even if he hasn't been as effective,
yeah,
I think he demands the ball more. To where you get into the more you run the ball more, which opens up passing lanes.
Well, maybe so, but I think Tony Pollard had a great day rushing. So
yeah, but he's not. He doesn't have the mouth to demand, like, I need my touches.
That's true. In fact, he's kind of the opposite because at the end of the last game, he was like, I'm tired. I can't go in. He said, I'm not going back in.
Yeah.
It's the fourth quarter. I'm like, dude, get out there and run the ball. That's your job. I'm spent.
But you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. I think you're right.
And it's something, you know, that Marshawn probably should have done one more time in the Super Bowl.
Oh, my gosh.
I saw a clip today of the referees in the game being like, why wouldn't you run the ball with Lynch there? but, you know, changing gears a little bit.
Yeah. Let's talk about Georgia.
I think, you know, when you look at this show as a whole, we should have started with college for where we're going to transition. Well, but it's okay. Because I'm good at this, I swear. Yeah, man, dogs are number one.
Dogs
man.
Are number one, and when they weren't number one, they got a little angry and came out and whooped up on Tennessee. What a game that was! It was great. It was a great game. I watched part of it. I didn't watch all of it.
It was over.
Yeah, it was over quick, right? Yeah.
And
they continued to roll on. So.
Well, and I think Kirby Smart called off the dogs a little early.
Yeah,
and I think you know. Because it was a monsoon going on.
Right.
And so I think he was like, all right, we're going to go vanilla on offense.
Vanilla on play. two. Hoo, hoo.
But vanilla on offense and just keep the intensity up on defense.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think we could have won by 40.
Yeah.
The final score didn't
reflect the strength.
And, you know, it's looking like the way everything's, like, we're going to see Tennessee again on a neutral field.
Yeah.
Which is going to be interesting.
Is that you were suspecting that for the SEC championship?
No. SEC championship game is going to be Georgia-LSU.
Georgia-LSU. Okay. And that's set. That is set now.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And we're going to just, you know.
Clock them probably.
Just kick the butt that way.
Are you thinking Tennessee is going to make it into the playoff? What do you.
So, yes. I think it's going to be. And I don't. It's going to depend on where they seed them.
Yeah.
Or where they rank them today.
Yeah.
I mean, Georgia's obviously number one. Then probably I would. Go Ohio State, TCU, Michigan.
Wow, do you put TCU in there right now?
Well, they were there last week.
Yeah.
So
I don't know that they belong there, but we'll see what happens.
I don't necessarily either.
Yeah.
But if I'm playing by their rules.
Sure. Did they get LaDainian Tomlinson come back for a master's degree and play a couple more years?
It's I can't do the quick just flipping of the first letters. But, you know, I think there's a lot that's really interesting in college football right now. With all the coaching spots that are open.
Yeah.
I mean, Auburn fired Brian Harsin. And that's, you know, a big time SEC job, which is going to demand a lot. You know, Georgia Tech's looking for a coach.
Yeah.
Nebraska's looking for, I mean, there's a lot of.
I heard a rumor they're trying to get Dion to come back to Georgia Tech. Not come back to, but come to back to Atlanta and to coach at Georgia Tech.
You know, if I'm Tech, you've got to make them say no. You know, like that was what Alabama did. So if we rewind the clock, Alabama. Got Rich Rodriguez turned them down, and then they said, "You know what? Screw it. Let's go ask Nick Saban, even though he's in the NFL.
Right?
Let's just go. Let's go throw a wild number at him and make him tell us no.
Right? Right?
And he looked at it and was like, you know,
he's actually like, I'm not good at this NFL thing. Let me head on back. Thing.
Like,
let me head on home.
He wasn't a bad NFL coach.
He was not a good one.
But you know, I mean, he was there for 2 years.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was better than
He's the guy. That's true.
Yeah,
he's
like
the guy who got caught up in the whole Drew Brees thing too, right?
And
he thought he was going to have Drew Brees.
He wanted Drew Brees, and he said, "If we had gotten Drew Brees, I'd still be in the NFL."
He was talking about.
And so I think,
and maybe Georgia would have won a couple national championships with old Mark Richt.
Yo, God, man, if we want to rewind the clock and put a playoff in 2001, that 2001 Georgia team doesn't lose to anybody. If we want to do it in 2007, you know, like we can.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those teams that if we had the playoffs.
We just need a DeLorean, a flux capacitor, and then 1.21 gigawatts.
And a really good argument to get them to leave the BCS because that was a terrible system. I digress.
You know, BCS actually helped Oklahoma quite a bit. We just always failed when we got there. I think we were in like 5 BCS national championships. We won one of them.
Those dumb computers. I hated that.
The computers are like, we love Oklahoma. Bob Stoops put him in the game.
Well, it was just like
Jason White, best quarterback ever.
Whatever happened to Jason White?
He won the Heisman, broke both of his knees, and I think sells cars now.
Yeah, I knew he got hurt, but I didn't know. Is he an analyst? Like, I would think he would have gone. I don't know.
Who knows? Jason White, give us a call. We know you're listening. Give us a call. Call in. We'll put you on live.
If I find out Jason White has heard of this show, it'd make me so happy.
Hey, we're getting followers on Twitter now.
Hey, man.
And listeners. Now that we're up on YouTube.
Hi-o. Shameless plug.
Shameless plug. Watch us on YouTube. Subscribe. Hit that like button.
And our YouTube channel is?
YouTube.com/BigSadFun, I believe.
I mean, I think we got to get some subscribers there, but if you search in Big Sad Fun.
You'll find it.
Yes.
It'll pop right up.
It should. If it doesn't, give me a call.
Also, follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, because I
look
found.
Look for us on Spotify.
I found liking or live tweeting games.
Yes, that's CS1.
You know, I was going at. Eric Ainge on Twitter, and people were liking it.
That's good. That's what I'm talking about. We got to get involved.
Honestly, I think with jumping back, I think Eric Ainge opening up his mouth is really what doomed Tennessee. Him saying, Sanford Stadium was in a tough place to play.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. The volume there was insane. And then Tennessee's offsides.
And that's a noted fan penalty. Mm-hmm. Like if you get them to jump offsides like
that's
that often,
12th man, and that's
100% a fan penalty.
I heard Kirby coming out and saying like our fans were elite today. They were elite. And I was like, that's exactly how you described that. That's exactly right.
And you know, that's why I do love, one of the many reasons why I love football is, you know, the fan aspect of it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, basketball games get loud,
mm-hmm.
but when there's only one game a week and you have all week to prepare for that game,
uh-huh.
and then you have all day to start getting ready for it,
yes, right.
If you will.
Yeah.
But
it's good times to be a Georgia fan.
Yes, and I think this weekend's going to be...
Ever since we started this podcast, it's been a good time to be a Georgia
fan.
Honestly,
yeah. But I think this week's going to be interesting because I know a lot of people... And I was worried past weekend, about it being a trap game.
Yeah.
But Kentucky's... I mean, they're... I'm hoping they've checked out and we can just
steamroll.
But that's still a solid team with an NFL ready quarterback.
Is that the last game before the SEC championship?
We have Tech.
You have Tech. That's right, Tech. Yeah. That's Thanksgiving weekend, right?
Yeah, that's gonna be.
The big kind of.
It used to be.
Where are you playing it?
In Georgia, somewhere.
In Georgia. Okay.
I believe it's in Athens.
Okay.
It's weird because like. At home is closer to, like, Atlanta is where I live, and that's where it would be if it was away.
Yeah.
So it's weird for me to think.
Was it the head coach of Georgia Tech that was here before? I heard that he never played, for some reason, he never played Georgia in Athens, or he never had played, like, he never coached. I don't remember how that went.
I really wish I knew what you were saying.
Yeah, never mind. Doesn't really matter, but.
Because this is an odd stat that
it's a weird stat that I heard on one of our local radio stations, but I can't remember what it was now. So
all right,
so let's move on to our stat.
And now you'll see why Marcus Mariota is still bad at football. He seems like a very good
this
guy.
This just in: Marcus Mariota still bad at football.
You have a good old-timey radio voice. But he seems like a very good guy.
Yes. Well, that's what you want in your quarterback, is a great personality.
Well, but like,
just a good heart.
I don't want to like talk bad about someone who doesn't. All he's doing is I mean, we hired him to do a job, and he's doing it the best of his ability.
And let's be honest, maybe it's not all his fault.
Potentially, yes.
But that is not how the NFL works.
And it doesn't seem like we're going to make a change, which honestly...
So that's what I was going to ask you about today, actually, is when is the change coming? Because don't you want to see what the Riddler has?
So the thing is, we're still in a playoff hunt.
Yeah, well, that's true. And you know what? Let me be honest with you. I actually I'm rooting for Atlanta, because that would mean that Dallas would come to Atlanta to play a playoff football game.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I want to play
Assuming Dallas
game.
Pulls it together.
I want a playoff game. Well, they're still in the playoffs. They hold steady.
Yeah, that's hold steady, boys.
But I think I want a playoff game in Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah.
Because we haven't had meaningful football there ever.
Maybe ever.
Honestly, we've been bad since we built it.
That's right, because you were in the Georgia Dome before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I forgot about that.
We had a lot of good times in the Georgia Dome.
Now, you won a MLS championship and played,
yeah,
so that's good football.
We haven't had meaningful...
Football.
American football, if you will.
Oh, you mean American football.
But I think... So I think once we're out of it...
Yeah. You think then they make the move?
I think then we'll make the move. But if we're kind of reading between the lines, Arthmas was saying, like, you know, there's more wrong than just the quarterback. We're in the middle of a race. I don't want to make a change. Which I get that.
And that's all true.
However, I don't see how... And the other thing is, we're not at practice.
Yeah.
So Ritter,
we don't see.
Ritter
he might
be terrible.
He might be terrible. He's like, I already know enough to know.
And honestly, I think Ritter's probably just not ready yet.
Yeah.
Like
it won't hurt him to sit. It just affects whether or not you're going to draft quarterback next
but
year.
It's hard to continue watching Marcus Mariota. And I think a lot of it is we were very spoiled with how accurate Matt Ryan is.
Yeah.
Like that's one thing nobody can ever take away from Matt Ryan.
I saw Matt Ryan got back in the game, by the way.
And he looked good.
It turns out Jeff Saturday might have been the answer.
Saturday
is what you needed for Sunday. That's what I say.
That's what you've been saying. I hear you say that all the time.
I've been saying that. That's like a catchphrase of mine.
I think Saturday is what they need in that building.
Yeah.
I don't know if that works in every other building.
That's true. That's fair.
And I think also he beat a very bad Raiders team.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
And that's the thing. I think
that team's,
you know,
breaking down into tears.
It's mostly McAfee who's banging the Jeff Saturday's the best coach ever.
I bet, like, he is. I bet he's excited.
Pump the brakes.
Yeah, right, right. Well, I'll say this about Arthur Smith. You know, he, as I heard this week, you know, he doesn't want to wipe noses. His job isn't to come in and teach people how to play football. Like, he doesn't want to do basic stuff like that. He wants to actually compete, put a field team together, put on there. So with Riddler, the Riddler, as I call him,
that's a good nickname.
That is what you do. You're wiping his nose. You're teaching him how to play. And he's
but
not
I think
that.
You have to develop.
Mariota knows. You do, but that doesn't have to be his job. That's quarterback's coach's job.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And offensive coordinator's job.
And he must honestly just not be ready.
Yeah,
because Arthur Smith isn't the type of guy who's going to.
He's not being stubborn, right? I mean,
I don't think so. Like, he's not the type of guy to just be like, I really don't think he's the type of guy to tank.
No, absolutely not.
He's absolutely not tanking here. Because there's many moves.
Exactly. Well, and here's the thing, too. I think Arthur Smith is coming into the Falcons, and what he's trying to do is change the culture. And Atlanta has a losing culture to it. You know, there's a culture of losing here, and it becomes, you know, it just becomes kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy that we are a team that loses, and so we're going to lose. And what he's trying to do, so I honestly believe that Arthur Smith is trying to put out the best team he possibly can every week to win the football game, because he wants to change the mentality of these players. Maybe not for this year, but next year, they know Arthur Smith is a coach that wants to win, and then get behind that, get fired up for that.
Which is, like, he won more last year than he should have.
Yeah.
And this year, he, without question, has one of the worst rosters in football.
And he's still putting together a competitive team.
Which, and I think that's, and a lot of that is, you know, Cordell Patterson is good.
Yeah.
But, but here's kind of where I'm at is our offense of, and I think I've said this on the podcast before, and I've said it to anybody who will listen to me. Is this the offense that he wants to run, or is this the offense that he has to run with Mariota?
Interesting. Yeah, you know, isn't Mariota the guy that he wanted to go get, though?
I think Mariota was his guy until he benched him, and that's, he's already benched Mariota before.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I was trying to think of what the other reason was why I don't think that's the case. Right. But he's already benched Mariota before.
Yeah.
But I think. Well, forgot what I was about to say. Completely. But all right, I think I got it. Like, and especially, let's just go back to this last Thursday.
Yeah.
The throw from the back was bad.
I have not seen anything from the Thursday game. I was in the woods, remember?
Oh.
And I have not seen any highlights or anything. I turned the radio on the way back into civilization, and I turned on the sports radio there and was like, I cannot believe the Falcons did what they did.
So after this, can we record a reaction? Like, honestly, and put that up on YouTube?
Yeah, we should.
All right, good. All right, we're going to do that after this. His inaccuracy was, I mean, and I saw some stat about, like, that the receiver with the most missed throws to him is Kyle Pitts.
Really?
It's like everything is like just out of his reach. And
that's hard to do, I would think, with someone like Kyle Pitts.
He's huge.
Yeah. That's so like overthrowing Calvin Johnson. I mean.
Yes. But, you know, it's a lot of that that's like, if we just had someone with a better arm.
I'll give you Dak Prescott right now
I think when you watch that, when I show you that, you're going to say.
I'll show you clips of Dak Prescott throwing the ball. And
James,
you'll tell me.
James.
It's really that bad, huh?
Yes.
Well, that is sad, then.
And it, to be fair, it was raining, but we're in the NFL. This is the big boys league.
Rain is difficult. It's hard. It makes things slippery. It makes things cold.
But that's enough of the negativity.
Well, let's have some fun, then.
All right. So this is something I kind of thought of a couple weeks ago, and I would love to get kind of your take on it. I thought of this around Halloween.
All right.
And, you know, Halloween being evil and kind of spooky.
Yeah.
And I was kind of trying to think of what is kind of sports related to that, and not much. However, I found the best sports villain.
Okay. You have in your mind right now the best sports villain.
No, I don't have the best one, but you know,
you have the one that you think is the best.
Well, I have a couple that I think fit in there. And you know what I want to do with the fun segment.
Let's throw them out there and debate it.
What I want to do with the fun segment is I want to take a barbershop conversation and shorten it and record it.
Okay, let's do it.
And so I think obviously the obvious start to this is Christian Laettner.
Wow, so you're going back.
I mean,
didn't he make that shot like before you were born?
Probably. But so I also think that there is that the evil sports villain is reserved for the Duke white guy.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because JJ Redick was incredibly unlikable.
Grayson
Allen is, I mean, I can't believe he's still in the NBA. I think he's been put in his place. Yeah. I remember because he kept kicking people, and someone was like, he's going to do that to Draymond Green, and then Draymond's going to kill him.
Yeah, like on the court.
But you know, I think those are all obviously great, and
so that's like a category of villain. That's not even like one particular person. Just a Duke white guy.
But I still think, you know, just a smug white guy makes a good villain.
Yeah, particularly because, on the NBA.
But then you also, Bryce Harper.
Oh, that's right.
He is so smug and so white.
There does come, there's a smugness.
Now, I mean, I've thrown out four now and you're sitting over there.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I have anybody for that category that we haven't already talked about.
Well, but keep talking about the ones we brought up.
Yeah, well, man.
What do you got?
No, I got nothing, man. I got nothing. So,
So who was when you were growing up? Because I think you're in your prime fanhood.
Yeah, my prime.
No, not right now. I think about 8 to 12.
Yeah,
because that's when there's nothing else.
Right.
Oh, Steve Spurrier's got to be on this list.
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
Steve Spurrier would
for both of us because he was both the coach of the Florida Gators and the coach of the Washington Commies.
So, with when he was in the NFL, he wasn't. I mean,
he wasn't good. Thank the Lord.
He is a middle tier NFL coach.
I mean, yeah, that's generous, I think.
Like, as far as guys who've come from college to go, like, there have been worse.
That's true. That's good.
And we can have a whole discussion about that one day.
Urban Meyer. But, let's just go ahead and put Urban Meyer on the list of sports villains.
Man, recently, yeah.
And even before, like, I've never liked
this
guy.
He's always come off as a bit
talk
pompous.
About smug white guy, yeah.
Now if we're talking now, this is personal because of Atlanta, but Kyle Shanahan.
Well,
I mean, he just has the face you just want to like rearrange.
Well, yeah, right. Well, and then we could talk about Bobby Petrino, whose face did get rearranged.
Oh God, yes. Oh man, Bobby Petrino is the legitimate spawn of Satan.
That, you know, honestly, he might be as far as Atlanta goes. And as far as I've lived here since like 2004, basically, he's the one who's been the most villainized, I think, here in Atlanta, as far as anybody that I can think of.
There's a great video on it. But like it was like right during the Michael Vick thing.
Yeah.
And he came in and he was supposed to kind of revolutionize things.
Mm hmm.
And then it was the guy who's we generally like our owner.
Yes.
Arthur Blank.
Yes, Arthur
and
Blank. Yes.
Arthur Blank's story of, so they had a game Monday Night Football with Bobby Petrino, and he said, you know, we're going to, well, and he said that at the end of the year, they were going to take a look at things and see if they bring back Petrino.
Right.
But before the game, he said, I know people can ask me after the game, what should I say? And Petrino stood up, shook his hand and said, tell me you have a coach. Next morning,
I do remember that.
Next morning on TV, Woo Pig Suey. He's in Arkansas. I mean,
and he left a note, like a laminated note.
It wasn't even laminated.
It was just a piece of paper on each door.
And it was four sentences. I wish our time here could have been better. I would love to speak to you all at a later date. Like, bye. And then you had Lawyer Malloy on the news.
Oh my gosh.
Who, he like annotated it and he put like coward all over it and like just I mean every
oh,
coach
man.
But
that's
and then
so great though
and then you know you have him when he was in college with the whole you know motorcycle and the mistress
the guy's creepy he's shady and obviously has not, as of this
I don't,
date,
there's
shown
a lot,
much character.
There's a lot more things I could say, but this is a family-friendly podcast.
A children's program.
he's got to be up there.
Yeah, I would think for Atlanta, definitely.
But and then, you know, we jumped over Spurrier, but when he was in college and he could run the fun and gun,
yeah,
and he could just run up the score on everybody.
Yep.
Oh my God, he was the worst.
He was.
That was a little before my time, but I still remember my dad screaming about Spurrier.
I remember Florida and Florida State playing for the national championship. It was before we had the BCS. I think they were both highly ranked, and like it was basically
that was when they would just play the big bowl games and then just kind of pick an ice champion.
And I remember whoever won that game was going to be the national champion.
Right.
I know, right?
Every other level of football has got this. Well, kind of.
Well, it had all to do with politics and bowl games and all that stuff. But
I think you don't really have it in high school because you have state champions.
Well, you know what? We could throw the BCS in there as college villain.
Yes, I will. There you go.
Our sports villain.
The Atlanta
Thrashers?
No. God rest their soul. Hopefully they're coming back. I read something.
For real?
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah. We might get
we're gonna try that again?
I think, honestly, with a good ownership group, that'll work.
Better get Arthur Smith involved. I mean Arthur Blank involved.
Honestly, yeah. But we might get the Arizona team.
That's fun.
Yeah.
And the Phoenix?
Yes.
The Phoenix
Coyotes? Sorry, there's a couple of lights on and it's taking all of my attention.
Uh-oh. We might be in trouble here, folks.
It's across the street. but, oh man, there's so many that. But the guy who traded away Dominique Wilkins from the Hawks.
Okay. Yeah.
That's got to be up there.
Definitely.
I wish I could think of his name. And he made a.
He knows who he is.
That was the era of the Hawks where there's a lot of missteps.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like every era of the Hawks until like recently.
My personal favorite, you know what? Well, that's a comment. This is a comment for another time. Bad Hawks draft moves are great.
we'll save that for when the Hawks get knocked out of the playoffs.
We're doing all right.
Well, speaking of the NBA, there was a time this guy goes back and forth, but LeBron James, a lot of people villainize him. But I feel like
I understand some of the critiques of his basketball.
Yeah.
You know,
you mean
the
fact that he's like the greatest basketball player of all time.
Well, but like with the people don't like the fact that he flops.
It's part of the game.
But
I
also think, you know, when you're 6'8", 265, you're not going to get any call unless you flop.
that's true.
But, and I do think he is, and I mean, he's a top three basketball player of all time.
That's right.
By
top three,
I don't really have any real issue with LeBron. I do know people who are so, my father being one of them, and I know he's going
to hear
this.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, my God, my dad cannot stand
Mr.
LeBron.
Mr. Diggy. Let me tell you something about LeBron James. He is the greatest basketball player of all time. Although, I will say this.
As a person, he's doing nothing but opening up schools.
And he's great. Yeah. As a human being, he's awesome, too. Now, he is a little, he does have a self-awareness of how important he is in the game.
Sure.
And that comes off as irritating. That irritates me. But other
like,
than
who
that.
Who doesn't have that?
Right. And I'll say that. So in him being villainized, you know, it was when he left Cleveland to go to Miami and he had that whole the choice.
Well, that gets
the decision.
The decision. The self-awareness.
It does. But you know what? He raised like $3 million for the Boys and Girls of America or whatever. So that actually turned out to be a really good thing. Although, I remember watching that and being like, oh, I can't believe he did it.
That was so
wild. But then
he
went back and won a championship for him. And so they all took their jerseys out of the ashes and re-put them back together.
And you know,
everything
honestly,
worked out in the end.
You can burn the jersey all you want. You bought it.
Yeah,
the guy already got paid. He doesn't care.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He's gone.
He's gonna get another one. I did see somewhere that there's some jersey supplier where they will do like exchanges.
Yeah.
Or like if your player gets traded.
Yeah.
Like they will offer you an exchange for their new best player.
Oh, that's
player.
Cool. That's great. Let me list some villains that I have that ironically or coincidentally have also then become heroes, villains to heroes.
Oh, okay. I like that.
All right. So
is this in your mind?
In my mind. So number one comes to mind is Brett Favre. All right, so this guy.
And now he's a.
Yeah, a villain again, right?
I was going to say, he's.
So,
let's pump the brakes on calling Brett Favre a hero.
Let me complete the story, right? I hated Brett Favre as a Cowboys fan in the 90s, and Brett Favre was coming up, and we beat him in the playoffs twice on our way to the Super Bowl. But just his pomp and arrogance, and like when he won his, like, I don't know, whatever MVP, and he was like, yeah, I'm the best player in the NFL. And then you find out all this stuff. And so then as I got older or whatever, I really admired his style of play. And I really liked his attitude on the field too. So I grew, you know, as Dallas became, garbage, and I could just appreciate what was happening in front of me. Really grew to like him, and now here we go again.
Now right? he's
back
earth.
To being a villain again. Another one that's like that is Terrell Owens, who I absolutely despised as a 40 when he was a 49er. That whole stunt he pulled by getting on the star, you know, and doing the whole thing, and Emmitt Smith pushing him over or whatnot.
Was that Emmitt Smith?
It wasn't Emmitt Smith that did it. Emmitt Smith scored a touchdown, put the ball back on the star. And then when Terrell Owens did it again and came out to the star again, I think Brock Marion like leveled him.
I was like, there's no way it was Emmitt Smith running out there doing that.
So I hated him for that. I hated him so much. And then he became an Eagle after that, and I was like, oh, that's even worse. I should have won the MVP in that Super Bowl they lost, by the way. And then he came to Dallas, and I hated that because I was like, I hate this guy. But then you get to know a guy, you know? And he turned out to be pretty great. And I actually think he might be the top three best receiver of all time.
You know, he's an interesting case where at the end of his career, most guys like that, they retire because, like, nobody else wanted them. Like, their play on the field declined.
Mm-hmm.
He still had plenty of talent.
I think he did.
He just ran out of bridges to burn.
Like, that's exactly right.
Nobody would take him to deal with him.
I know.
And you know, he's still in great shape.
He
like
could
no
probably
one's,
still play.
He's plays
tied
in,
in.
He
right
plays
now.
In a lot of those, like the fan control.
The
football.
Fan control
he,
football. Yeah,
he plays in a lot of those things.
Yeah.
And you know, he still gets down, but he ran out of bridges to burn. It's wild.
I saw the play where he was in a Dallas Cowboy uniform and he goes up, catches the ball in the end zone. Comes down into the end zone, jumps one jump, and dunks the ball over the pylon. And I'm thinking to myself, there's no NBA player that could do that with all of that equipment on. I mean, like, that's an amazing feat.
And a physical specimen.
Yes. Yes.
That's interesting, though.
Very emotional.
That's my quarterback.
That's my quarterback, man.
That was such a weird... And I was like, I've never seen anybody care that much about Tony Romo.
Hey, that would be me, man. I'd be out there. Tony's one of those guys who also for me early on he was not a villain, but he got villainized by the Cowboys fans for that whole Seattle fumbling the pass. I never thought when he fumbled the kick, the handling of the kick for Seattle back in like 2006, I think, he got villainized and nobody ever forgave him for that. I did. I love the guy. But Tony, for listening,
you know,
I love you.
What's interesting, though, is...
Come back. Please come back.
A lot of... He could not come back.
Please come back.
A lot of Falcons fans never got over Matt Ryan not being Michael Vick.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. And I wanted to get Glenn Dorsey in that draft.
Yeah? You didn't want Michael Vick?
I didn't want Matt Ryan.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
I was saying, let's get a defensive lineman. Let's get a quarterback round two. Turns out he's one of my favorite players of all time, but
yeah.
That's besides the point.
Matt Ryan's the best quarterback, best player, probably.
In Falcons history, easily. Ever had. Yeah. Easily. As a Falcon, yes.
Yeah.
Because like Deion's got to be on that list.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if Deion had stayed a little longer, then Deion would have been
that
the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
no doubt.
You know,
no doubt.
No, and Tommy Nobis needs to be in the Hall of Fame. Every time I mention him, I'm going to say that.
You know, he used to be a member at Candace's church.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I saw him get his haircut one time.
Yeah, really?
Good dude.
Yeah, good dude.
I really like his organization.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yes, I digress.
Okay, so who else we got left?
We'll think of a couple and I'll tweet them out.
Okay, so that's a good place to start the conversation, and we'll continue that conversation on Twitter.
Yeah,
and
sure.
If you guys have your own sports villain, let us know. Tweet us at Big Sad Fun. Or comment on our YouTube video, or text us, or call us.
I will be watching this guy for carrier pigeons. Send me a carrier pigeon.
Carrier pigeon would be fine, although you won't get it back because that's good lunch right there.
Gross.
Edward, thanks for being here today, man.
Thanks for having
me. We'll see you guys next week.